The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage, because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. If you guys followed this podcast long enough, you know that the topics have somewhat evolved since the show first began. When the show first began, I was just really excited to highlight all these great stories of people I was getting to meet across the country in my travels as a speaker. But in the last couple years, it has evolved to a really boots on the ground fight, where an emerging threat that I'm seeing, not just in my home state of South Dakota, but all across the nation, is there is a playbook being enacted one way or another that seeks to strip America's farmers and ranchers off the land. In South Dakota, we just fought and really, quite frankly, won against a carbon sequestration pipeline Green New Deal boondoggle. And you would think the people of South Dakota could finally have rest. And yet, here in this beautiful state where the cows outnumber people 4-1, we are once again seeing one of our own be attacked, and this time it's by the federal government. So today on the show, I have several guests that are going to tell you exactly what's going on. And you know, if you hear this story, you can only just cry thinking that this could be any of us. This could be any farm and ranch family across America. And so today, as we get things started, first of all, I want to introduce a special guest, a dear friend of mine, a fighter in the trenches, Speaker of the House in South Dakota, John Hansen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amanda. It's good to be with you.
Well, folks should surely recognize you. You've made an appearance on the show a couple times now, and you're always well received. But first of all, I want to congratulate you on the 100th legislative session. A lot of victories coming out of Pier this year. So could you just talk briefly about some of those victories and highlights from this session with you at the helm of leadership?
Well, sure. Yeah, it was a great 100th legislative session, pretty historic in the state of South Dakota. And I think the biggest victory among the victories this session is the one that you mentioned, Amanda, which is we passed a bill that ended eminent domain for the carbon sequestration pipeline. And you just wind back the clock a little bit and you see what's been going on to families all across the state, where this out-of-state foreign-backed company has been coming in onto people's land in pursuit of policies driven by the Green New Deal. And they're saying, we're going to lay our carbon sequestration pipeline across your land, whether you like it or not, because we have the power to use eminent domain. They were abusing the state authority of eminent domain for a private company. And so it's been a long effort over the last 2+ years to bring that ability of that company to come abuse and threaten and harass our landowners to a close. But this last legislative session, we did just that. We passed a bill that's going to end eminent domain for carbon sequestration pipelines. It's a massive relief for families in South Dakota who were affected by this company. So that was a great win for the people of this state. We also did a lot of great bills just in terms of securing our elections for South Dakotans, trying to bring about some fiscal sanity in this state. and bring about some accountability in our government. There's been a number of cases in our state where state employees are getting prosecuted for crimes that they committed as state employees. And so we're strengthening protections for the taxpayers in the state to make sure that the abuse of taxpayer dollars by people within our government come to an end as well. So we've got a lot of wind in our sails, a lot of momentum building for the people of the state of South Dakota. We had a great 100th legislative session, and those victories are just going to keep continuing in our state.
Absolutely. It's been exciting to see really true conservatives leading the state of South Dakota, probably really for the first time in a very, very long time, where it's not just lip service. It's not just politicians saying I'm a Republican and I have common sense conservative values. No, it's real conservatives who actually are following the platform, who actually are making principled decisions for the people, for everyday South Dakota citizens. And really, it's just exciting to see this momentum build and grow, John, with frankly, South Dakotans deserve better. And they deserve leadership that actually cares, that's boots on the ground. And that's what I respect and admire so much about you, is that you've actually been there right alongside of us. People might not know, but John was at the very first landowner rally in Leola, South Dakota, when this pipeline came into town. He debated another pipeline company and, quite frankly, whooped their butts in that debate, and they packed their bags and left the state of South Dakota. He carried bills in the last couple of years that would protect South Dakota citizens facing some of the biggest lobbying groups in the country. And of course, he was right by our side with HB 1052, testifying, helping bring it along. And in a very exciting twist, he used his legislative prowess, his experience, to kill a very bad bill, SB 198, and hijack it and put HB 1052 language in it, meaning we didn't have just one 1052. We had two in the pipeline, pun intended, I guess. And one way or another, it was going to get to the governor's desk. So that comes from experience, wisdom, steady leadership. I just want to thank you for your efforts on behalf of all the South Dakota landowners that really, really were grateful for your efforts on that fight.
Well, I appreciate that, Amanda. And it's an honor just to stand and fight alongside them. You know, you talk to people across the state who are under the gun, you know, really victims of this Green New Deal leftist agenda that's been trying to be pushed down, not only from the feds, but from companies and people in the state of South Dakota. They needed help. They needed backup. They needed people fighting for them. And it's just an honor to stand with them and to fight for their rights and for the people of the state.
Yeah, this was on the east side of the state. And yet we had so many neighbors on the western side of the state who cared, who helped fight, who got plugged into this issue. And in the back of my mind, I always knew, you know, this isn't going to be the last company that comes in and tries to pick on the people. This isn't going to be the last threat to our private property rights. And lo and behold, on the western side of the state, there is a family facing this exact same thing, just a little bit different scenario. You've brought them onto the show today as your guests. They are South Dakota citizens, and they have a pretty devastating story that I think that is getting nationwide attention. Tom and Randy Hamilton, I'm so happy to have you guys on the show. And John, I guess just to set things up a little bit before we start asking them questions, you were recently out on the ranch. You took along, I believe, 16 other legislators with you here a few weekends ago. Tell us what you saw when you went out to Western South Dakota to this beautiful ranch.
Well, we went out and visited the ranch of Charles and Heather Maud. They're a beautiful young couple with two incredible little kids. We heard their story of the federal government coming in and prosecuting them for theft of government property for land that they have been working for decades and decades and decades in their family. And so we thought, you know what, we're going to have to go out, meet these people and check it out for ourselves. And so we did that. We showed up and there were, I don't know how many, a lot of community members and friends of the Maud family, everybody very concerned about what's going on with Charles and Heather. And I've reached out to other people who are friends of mine, and they only speak great things about Charles and Heather and their family and what they do for the community. And so we went out to the ranch. We looked out over and we saw the old fence line that has stood there for decades. I think the fence line was there before Charles and Heather were even born. And then we saw on the other side of that fence line, the land that's in dispute. And so it's that land that Charles and Heather have been running cattle on that the feds have now come in and said, hey, you've committed theft of government property for doing what you've been doing on that land. And they're threatening them with 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine, both of them individually. And since they've charged them individually, they've been gagged from talking to each other about the case. They've had their Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms suspended. And when you're out there and you're talking to Tom and Randy and the family members, you know, the community, it just becomes very clear that what we're experiencing in this case is an overzealous federal prosecution. And at the end of the day, what ordinarily would have happened is you would have sat down amongst neighboring landowners and sorted out this dispute civilly across a coffee table. But that's not what's going on here. It's elevated to the point where they're threatening to send this young couple to prison for up to 10 years. And to me, that is just wrong. And so, you know, you talk to anybody involved in this, and it's very clear that that's what's going on here, and that federal government now under the Trump administration hopefully will step in and rectify this situation and drop these charges for the mob.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at CK6Consulting.com and CK6Source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
Well, thanks for laying it out for us, John. And I guess this whole time I've just wondered, you know, where is our South Dakota delegation? This happened under Governor Noem's reign and now Governor Roden, and both have been very quiet on this. We are wondering where help is coming from DC, whether it's Dusty Johnson or John Thune. And it's frustrating, but I felt like I saw the picture of the South Dakota legislators, the coalition of you guys, all in your vehicles going up the hill there in Western South Dakota. And it felt like, man, this is what leadership looks like. This is boots on the ground, heart of service people saying we're here to help and we care. And so on the show today is Heather's parents. And so Tom and Randy, I would like to hear just from you guys, did John sum it up pretty well, or what were those early days like when they were slapped with the indictment?
Oh, the early days. Well, they were terrible as the parents. You always think this happens to somebody else. You know your children and your son-in-law are innocent, and then you have to confront your grandchildren. They ask you, Grandma, what's going to happen to us? And it hasn't ended. So I can't explain it. I can't describe it. It's just unbelievable that the federal government would do an agent, a special agent with a badge who's not elected, can do this to a family. Not alone our family, but anybody else. It's just beyond my mind. And so I've said in a couple places, the sheriff could take care of these things. Why does our federal government have so many badged people? Not only with the Forest Service, the BLM. I was visiting with a gentleman in D.C., and he said the Department of Interior has the largest police force in the United States. I go, why? Why? Mm-hmm. They have to protect their assets. Well, so do Heather and Charles.
Right.
They have and to protect their assets, too. Not only their livelihood, their family, and their children.
So this fence line, just to give people an understanding, has been there how long?
Since the 40s, I believe. Charles's great-grandfather built it. And they built it on a berm that they had an easement from the Forest Service to put a ditch from a mile up the river down to irrigate this piece of land for the last over 100 years. And this berm continues on down the adjacent to the field, and the fence is built on this berm. And it's been there, yes, I think in the 40s, a long time.
Wow. Wow.
And before they were born.
And so this began, if I understand right, in March 2024, correct? Heather and Charles were notified by the USDA saying a fence between their property and the adjacent Buffalo Gap National Grasslands blocked access to the Buffalo Gap grasslands. And then they met with the U.S. Forest Service, Julie Wheeler, May 1st to discuss that discrepancy in the boundary regarding the fence line. As I understand it, there was another meeting set to take place to work it out. And before that meeting could happen, that's when the indictment was slapped on them, correct?
Pretty much sums it up, yes.
And Julie Wheeler called for a survey, which she indicated would take from several months to a year. And the special agent, Lunders, he proceeded to accomplish a survey in 6 days.
Yeah.
On this property. And then they summoned them back to another meeting.
Never happened.
Who's the legislator that was going to attend?
Rounds.
Rounds. Mike Rounds was going to attend that meeting, and he had a conflict. So they rescheduled. And that is the last communication that Charles and Heather were able to have with the Forest Service. They were then indicted.
Wow. And so bringing it, you know, up to where we are right now, they were supposed to go to court at the end of April, but that was delayed to July 22nd, correct?
That is correct.
And so have there been any help? I think I was told Senator Rounds was kind of working on some things behind the scenes. Is there any assistance there right now?
Not that we're aware of.
There could be, but we're...
Harriet Hageman, our representative from Wyoming, is pretty active in this and has cooperating with Rounds and Dusty Johnson and some of the other legislators in getting this on up the ladder. So we're not sure where it's going to land yet, but lots of good people pulling and pushing on this.
Right. So how can people help? Because right now, if I think about this, I've known Charles and Heather for decades. So Charles was at South Dakota State University the same time as me, salt of the earth cowboy. I mean, they don't make them like him anymore. Heather, I wrote with her at the Tri-State Livestock News in my early days of reporting, and just the best, most kindest, hardest working Christian family, just trying to do things right, homeschooling the kids, selling the beef and pork at the farmer's market, just trying to make an honest living on the land, doing what's right. And I guess, how can people help Charles and Heather? I hate that they can't even be on here to speak for themselves. It just saddens me. But as mom and dad, what can we do?
I always let people know, first off, pray. Mm-hmm. Pray for them. And God knows what needs to be done. He knows who to put two together and who's going to do the work, but pray. If the people want to financially help them, there's a GoFundMe page, and they can also mail a check to their bank in New Underwood. And, you know, maybe send a card encouraging them. Computa, South Dakota is a very small town. Maybe you wouldn't even have to put their address on there. Just say Computa, because
they'd probably get it.
Well, Kennedy broke her leg, and I was over there helping out. And Grandma, look at all the cards I got.
Oh, wow.
Or, you know, so, you know, that would help them too. It's not just financial. It's emotional. Hey, yep. We have your back. Here's a card. Yep. Thinking, I don't know.
Are they still doing the farmer's markets? Can folks get the meat? Can they order beef, pork?
Good point. Yes, they can. Yes.
And so is it online at all, or is it just?
Yeah,
just
it's Mod Hog and
Cattle.
I should know that.
And I'll share all these links in the show notes too. I think when good people help each other through a hard time, that's the best way. I guess what happens for them between now and that July court date? What are we focused on, spreading the word, or what can they do?
I'd like to add, you know, people that are watching this podcast, especially from other states.
Yeah, other states.
If they can bring awareness to their legislators, you know, the senators and representatives, and continue to apply pressure. I mean, these public lands are all through the West. And this doesn't just affect Heather and Charles. There are many, many similar issues out there. And what happens in this case is going to give direction to lots of other cases. So, you know, I would tell people to listen to this. Get a hold of your representatives. Get a hold of your senators, your governors, and carry this message on. You know, this doesn't just affect Heather and Charles. It affects a lot of people, and it might be your next door neighbor.
I think to highlight just how insane this is, it's over 25 acres, and they're facing prison time. I mean, we're talking about criminal charges and conspiracy over 25 acres. And where you guys are, does that feed one cow-calf pair?
Not no. even.
Yeah. So,
they're a little more productive than we are, but that would feed about one cow for a year.
This is just, it's egregious. It's outrageous. And I want to jump back to John here. John, you're a lawyer as well. And obviously you're not going to give legal advice on the show, but from your perspective, I guess, I mean, what do you make of this case? I guess just your thoughts as you were sitting there and hearing their story, boots on the ground.
Well, it's sort of like what I was saying earlier. It's hard to imagine a prosecutor would look at the facts of this case and say, yeah, we're going to threaten this family to send them to prison for 10 years and break up this couple and separate these parents from their beautiful young kids. The idea of that is outrageous. It's horrific. It feels like a gut punch to think about breaking up this beautiful young family. So I just think most prosecutors would look at that and think this is not the right tool to use to negotiate whatever needs to be negotiated in this case. So, you know, from that perspective, I just think it's egregious and this family needs the relief that's only going to come through getting rid of these criminal charges, dropping these criminal charges, and just getting back to a civil discussion between the Mods and the Forest Service, whether that's through the Small Tracts Act or whatever they can negotiate, that'll be up to them at that point. But the hammer of 10 years and $250,000 each is just way, way, way overboard and needs to be dropped.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt exactly as nature made it. It contains 60-plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKEY to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount. Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A, Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
And I think the way cattle ranchers work, I mean, really, it's a handshake and your word. And any reasonable person would say, oh, if there's a dispute and where the fence line is, yeah, we'll get the post hole diggers out and we'll fix it. Like, it's not a big deal. We'll get this done in a weekend. And that's the thing. If there was truly a concern here about the fence line, this could have been fixed in a few days time and some hours work. And so it, to me, it doesn't even seem like that's the intent. I know there's been a lot of things thrown out, conspiracies or not, of what the real agenda is here. I won't speculate on those things, but it does highlight to me what I see as a weaponization of our federal government, a government that's gotten too big for its britches, that really isn't working for the people. And I hope we can get back to a time where we truly feel like the government is there in service to the people. I guess for the Hamiltons, what else do you wish people would know? I know you're kind of You had said we could talk about cows all day long, but if it comes to media interviews, this is not our strong suit. And yet I know you have been doing a ton of interviews trying to spread the word. Are there any misconceptions about the case that people have said online or talked about? I know one of the things I get is people are like, well, maybe they are guilty of something. You know, that's kind of like their hesitancy to get involved. And I guess any misconceptions you'd want to clear up?
Ones that I see often is the participation in FSA programs and in participation in the establishment of that pivot by government agencies, you know, and everyone in agriculture participates in these. That's why we only spend less than 25% of our disposable income on food.
Right.
It's accomplished in that manner. But people do not understand the process of getting federal help to improve the range and or to improve the crops or to improve our operations.
Right.
Nothing there. They did nothing wrong. You can't steal land, number one. It's still there.
Right.
It's still there.
Now, right.
Okay. So why? I get that. Why? Are there any ghosts in the closet? No, they don't have any ghosts in their closet. Check them out. Check out other people involved in this. And how are the three of them tied together? Travis Lunders, Special Agent Travis Lunders, U.S. Forest Service Ranger Julie Wheeler, and attorney Allison Ramsdale. I mean, I don't understand how this went so fast. Boom, boom, boom. I don't get it. And we are asked that a lot also, but that's not going to your question of pre-con.
No, that's okay. Well, it does highlight the frustration that it does feel almost orchestrated, like the outcome was already determined before they made connections with Charles and Heather. I do want to give some hope because I know John, I know the team of legislators that came out there, and I've heard seen some criticism where they say, well, this is a federal issue, so the legislature in South Dakota can't do much. John, speak to that a little bit, because I think that's a good way for people who would prefer to sit on the fence and not do anything to say nothing can be done. It's not in my purview. It's in federal court. So, you know, I can't make a difference. Tell me a little bit behind the scenes. What is your coalition of legislators kind of working on? And can using your voice and your position kind of make a difference in this?
Absolutely. It's a couple of things. Number one, you know, we want to go out and get to know the family and the community members and the situation, learn for ourselves what's going on, and then stand with them, stand together with them when they're facing the threat of 10 years in prison. And I think that's really important for people in South Dakota to stand together when they're under the gun, whether that's from Summit Carbon Solutions or from overzealous federal prosecutors. We're going to stand strong and we're going to stand together. And then beyond that, I think it's important that we get the word out on Charles and Heather's story, because the more people know about this, the more they're talking about it, the more likely it is it's going to reach the ears of the right people, whether that's Secretary Rawlins or the Attorney General Pam Bondi or President Trump. You know, this all started under the Biden administration. Well, there's a new administration in town, and I'm very hopeful and I trust that when we elevate this story to the right people, they're going to do the right thing. We've got good people in our federal government now who I think are standing strong with our farmers and ranchers, and they're going to look at this story and think, that's wrong, dismiss those charges. So it's really important, I think, that people learn more about this and then spread the word, because I think that's going to have a big impact on bringing about a good resolution to this case where these charges are dropped.
It does feel like one of those things where, you know, no stone is not worth unturning and seeing if it's a lead. I was talking to Illinois Congresswoman Mary Miller here this week, and I mentioned your guys' story. And she was like, I have someone that sits right next to Trump and sends him texts. So she's like, send me everything. And she was going to deliver it that way. But it's like, you just don't know. Word of mouth can travel fast. And if this was ever a DOJ situation, I think it's, you know, this seems like a huge waste of taxpayer dollars to pick on a poor ranching family in Western South Dakota. So you guys, as we close out the show today, first I'll start with you guys, Tom and Randy. Is there any final parting words you'd like to share with folks, you know, far and wide across the country about this story and Charles and Heather?
You know, we are so grateful for the people that are standing up and fighting for us and fighting for them. The prayers that come and just the awesome ag organizations and John and his group, that was just amazing. And, you know, we just want everybody to know that we are truly grateful for that. And we're going to keep up our fight because we are going to win this.
We're going to win.
You know, we're going to win, but not without the help of the wonderful people that we are getting involved with. And it's been really fun meeting them, if nothing else. So what do you have, Randy?
Yeah. Well, it's getting us back in the saddle. We're kind of on retirement mode, but this is nice and exciting. I'm glad we're still around so that we can help the way we can help them, both of them. Just keep up, just keep praying, keep talking. And like you said, across the country, we've had friends from New York call, say, is this real? How can this be? Friends from California, all over the United States. How can this be? I don't have an answer.
You know, there's one thing I've learned through hardship and especially our pipeline fight over here is the good Lord has a way of bringing the right people together. And if there's one thing I think that makes South Dakota special is we really do stand together when one of our own is in trouble. So, John, I'll let you close out the show, too. I guess any parting words, not only for Charles and Heather, but for everyone listening about kind of how you look at how we can impact this fight, how we can stick together and stand up for each other. And I guess your role in it as well.
Well, I encourage everybody to share this podcast, do some more research and share other stories just to get Charles and Heather's story out there like we were talking about earlier, because I do believe that once this gets to the right people in our federal government now, that they're going to do the right thing and dismiss these charges. You know, going out there to the ranch and meeting the family, of course, Charles and Heather couldn't be there because of this gag order and all the restrictions that have been placed. But just talking to Tom and Randy and talking to some of the other family members and talking to people in the community who know them and have known them for years, you can tell that this is a special couple. Their kids were there too. I brought a couple of my boys along. And after we finished up at the ranch, we went over to the fire hall and had a conversation. And they started playing cards together, my kids and the mod kids. And their first interaction, you know, the mod son, young boy, goes over, looks at my son in the eye, shakes his hand, says his name, and introduces himself. And it was just a perfect little example of South Dakota manners. And you could just tell where that comes from. That's from his good parents and his good family and his good community. And so it really is just it's a beautiful young couple that an overzealous prosecutor has come and rained down a tragedy, and it needs to come to an end. And so I'm really hopeful that it does. And I'm really hopeful that the federal government's going to do the right thing. And at the end of the day, if this gets to them, I think that they will.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that note, I appreciate your guys' time today. For our listeners today, the best way you can help, check out the links in the show notes to either donate or support. You can share this show to help spread the word. And, you know, once again, all eyes are on South Dakota. And as I've said many times, I wouldn't bet any money against the people of this great state. When they lock arms together, they stand side by side and they fight for what is right. And what is right in this situation is to let this beautiful ranching couple keep ranching, keep doing what they love to do, stay on the land. And if there is a fencing dispute, let's get it resolved in a reasonable way. And let's close the door on this ridiculous overreach of federal government abuse. So with that, thank you guys all for tuning in. We'll see you next week on the Heart of Rural America podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple and Spotify. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next
week. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.